إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to review a brief advice. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. That has been entitled, The Excellence or Virtues of the Fasting of Ramadan and the Standing, Al-Qiyam, the Standing in the Night in Ramadan, along with clarification of important legal rulings that some of the people may be unaware of. And this brief advice is from Min Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a, ila man yarahu min al-muslimin. Yani from al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, to those who it may reach from amongst the Muslims. And from the beautiful characteristics of our Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, is that he gave a lot of attention to dua, praying for the Muslims, all the time, whenever he spoke and whatever he wrote. And he begins this advice by saying, yani that this is to whoever it may reach from amongst the Muslims, sallakallahu bi wa bihim sabil ahlul iman wa waffaqani wa iyyahum lil fiqhi fi sunnati wal quran amin. That may Allah cause me and them to travel along the path of the people of Iman. And may He grant us success. Yani may He grant me success and them, the Muslims, success in understanding the Sunnah and the Quran. I haven't heard this dua before, but it is tremendous. If a person reflects on what he has said here, may Allah cause me and the Muslims to travel on the path of the people of Iman. And then may He grant us success, not just to travel on that path, but to be successful in reaching our destination. Be successful in that path by understanding, having fiqh of the Sunnah and the Quran. May Allah accept this dua from this great man, and may Allah have mercy upon him. And then he says, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Amma ba'd. فهذه نصيحة موجزة تتعلق بفضل صيام شهر رمضان وقيامه وفضل المسابقة فيه بالأعمال الصالحة مع بيان أحكام مهم ومهمة قد تخفى على بعض الناس. يعني this is a brief advice related to or connected to the excellence and the virtue of fasting the month of Ramadan and standing, yani in the prayers in the night, the voluntary prayers in the night in Ramadan. And the excellence of competing in this month in the doing of righteous deeds. Yani competing. The meaning here, what might be understood from this, is not just to do good deeds, but compete with the other people of righteousness. to do more than the other people. Not just to do some good deeds, but to compete with one another. Al-musabaqa. Competition in doing righteous deeds. Along with clarification of important legal rulings. Ahkam muhimma. Important legal rulings. Qad takhfa ala ba'd an-nas. That perhaps may be hidden. Might not be, some of the people might not be aware of. And even if we are aware of them, it is a good reminder, no doubt. So the Shaykh, he begins after this by mentioning some hadith. From amongst those hadith that he mentioned, he says it has been confirmed from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to give the good news. Yani he used to announce that this is a good event coming, this taking place. He used to announce to his companions the coming of the month of Ramadan. Yani when Ramadan came, he used to say this is something that we could be looking forward to. And he used to inform them, alayhi salatu wasalam, that this is a month in which the doors of Ar-Rahmah, of mercy, and the doors of Al-Jannah are opened. And the doors of Jahannam, the hellfire, are closed. And the shayateen are put in chains. وَيَقُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And here he mentions, from amongst those hadith that he mentioned, this is the first of them. He says, إِذَا كَانَتْ, يعني that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِذَا كَانَتْ أَوَّلُ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانٍ فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ فَلَمْ يُغْلَقْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ. That when the first night of Ramadan comes, the first night of Ramadan comes, before the first fast, when the first night of Ramadan comes, the doors of paradise are opened. And there's no door from the doors of paradise that is closed. Every door is opened. وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّمَ فَلَمْ يُفْتَحْ مِنْهَا بَابٌ. And the doors of the hellfire are closed. And not one of those doors are left open. وَصُفِّدَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ. And the shayateen are put in chains. And some of the scholars, due to other narrations of this hadith, where it mentions that some of the most wicked and evil of the shayateen are chained. Some of the scholars said that the meaning of the shayateen being chained is that they are limited and they are restricted and they are confined. Not that they have been put to sleep or that they have been killed, but they are alive, but they are in chains. That means they are limited in their ability to affect or to harm the believers. And some of them said that some of the shayateen are chained, because in some of the narrations that's authentically narrated, it said maradatul jinn, yani those the most evil and wicked of them. And some of the scholars said that also, from what may be understood from this, is that there are other shayateen from amongst the human beings that are not chained. And then there's evil that comes from an-nafs al-ammara bis-su, from your own self calling you to evil. And then there are bad habits that a person had before Ramadan that they continue to act upon, even in Ramadan, even if the shayateen were non-existent. And all of these are causes why even in Ramadan we find that some of the people are still affected by one or another of these causes. Whether it's their own nafs that's calling them to evil, or whether it's their bad habits, or whether it's those shayateen that are not chained, or the shayateen from amongst the human beings, or that the shayateen that are chained are only limited and restricted, but they are still alive and they still have some influence and some effect. And some of the scholars said that to the extent that the person has completed and perfected the rules and the regulations and the etiquettes and requirements of the fast, to that extent they will be protected from the shayateen in Ramadan. So that those people who are not fasting, they have no protection whatsoever. And those who are fasting, but taking the matter lightly, then likewise it will be. In terms of the benefit and the effect of the shayateen being chained. So the Prophet ﷺ said, وَصُفِّدَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That the shayateen, the devils are chained. وَيُنَادِي مُنَادٍ. And a caller calls out, يَا بَاغِيَ الْخَيْرِ أَقْبِلْ وَيَا بَاغِيَ الشَّرِ أَقْصِرْ. So a caller will call out, oh, the one who is seeking good, come forward. Yani, exert yourself. Exert yourself in doing good. The one who desires good. This is your opportunity. يَا بَاغِيَ الْخَيْرِ. You want good? Now is the best time for you to do it. Why? Because the shayateen are chained. And all of the doors of paradise are open and the doors of the hellfire are closed. What better opportunity will you find? If you don't do it now, will it ever be done? Ya baghi al-khair, aqbil, come forward, the one who desires good. Wa ya baghi al-shar, aqsir, and the one who wants evil, stay back. Walillahi utaqa'u min an-nar, wa dhalika fi kulli laylatin. And Allah has, in Ramadan, and in some of the narrations it said, at the breaking of the fast at Maghrib, those that He frees from the hellfire. وَذَٰلِكَ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ. And that is every single night in the month of Ramadan. So that every day a person could look forward in striving in that day to be obedient to Allah and to avoid His prohibitions and to observe all of the etiquettes of the fast. They could look forward every single night in Ramadan that there is a chance that Allah might free them from the hellfire. Yani a person has in the month of Ramadan an opportunity every single day to do something that may cause them to escape from the hellfire. Naam. And there's another hadith that the Shaykh didn't mention, but it's appropriate here to mention. And that is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahih. It's narrated in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Inna hadha shar qad hadarakum, that indeed this month has come to you. Yani it has arrived. Wa fihi laylatun khayrun min alfi shahr. And in this month there is a night, and we don't know which night it is, but we know the hadith about this well. That inshallah it is in the last 10 nights and in the odd nights. But it is in this month, that's for sure. In this month there is one night that is better than 1,000 months. Man hurimaha faqad hurim al khayr kullahu. Whoever has been denied the good of that night has been denied the good, all of it. They have been denied all good. وَلَا يُحْرَمْ خَيْرَهَا إِلَّا مَحْرُومٌ. And no one is denied the good of that night except the person who is truly deprived. And the Shaykh also mentions the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He's saying, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That whoever fasts Ramadan with iman, faith in Allah, and believing in Allah, and believing that Allah has legislated this, واحتسابا, and having expectation and anticipation and hope of reward from Allah for this fast, then their previous sins would be forgiven. And this is also a great virtue, a fadl and excellence of this month of fasting, that whoever fasts this month with iman and ihtisab, with conditions, then their previous sins will be forgiven. وَمَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانِ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. And whoever stands, yani in the nights, the voluntary prayer in Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, with faith, true faith in Allah, and ihtisab, hope and expectation and anticipation of the reward of Allah, then their previous sins will be forgiven. وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. And whoever stands in the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, that night which is better than 1,000 months, whoever stands in prayer in that night and engage in the worship of Allah in that night with iman and ihtisab, then their previous sins would be forgiven. Bukhari and Muslim. And finally, the Shaykh mentioned another great hadith that we're all familiar with, and it is just a reminder to us that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu amali ibni Adam lahu," that every action, every deed, every worship that the human being does, the ibni Adam, it is for him. Meaning the benefit of it, Allah doesn't get any benefit from the worship. Rather, the benefit goes back to the one who does it, if he does it sincerely for the sake of Allah. الْحَسَنَةُ بِأَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا إِلَىٰ سَبْعِمِيَةِ ضِعْفٍ. And the reward of those deeds that the human being does will be multiplied, every good deed, by 10 like it. الْحَسَنَةُ بِأَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. الْحَسَنَة, one hasana, the reward will be like 10 like it, multiplied by 10, إِلَىٰ سَبْعِمِيَةِ ضِعْفٍ, up to 700 times the reward for that deed. Yani that every good deed that a human being does, they can expect to at least get 10 rewards for that one good deed. up to 700. And in some of the narrations, it said, in other narrations of Sahih, إِلَى مَا شَاءَ Allah. Meaning the reward is as Allah wills it to be. إِلَّا الصِّيَامِ, except fasting. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِي. Because fasting, to the exclusion of every other deed, is special. In that no one knows who is fasting. Or even if a person stays with you 24 hours a day and watch you every moment and know that you're not eating and drinking, no one knows who is fasting sincerely for the sake of Allah. No one knows except Allah. And this is the difference between fasting and every other deed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنَّهُ لِي, that is exclusively for me. وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِي, and therefore I will reward especially. Especially. Every other deed, multiply by 10, up to 700 fold. But except fasting, there's a special reward for fasting. And that in itself is sufficient for a person to strive and struggle and work hard to try and observe the etiquettes of the fast, the requirements of the fast, and the sunnah of the fast, and the extra things that a person can do in order to complete and perfect the fast. Because the reward will be directly, especially from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alaykum as-salam. He said, تَرَقَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَتَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. Yani Allah said, what? And this is the key that is special to the fasting, as particularly only known to Allah, and that is that the person has left his desires, and he has left his food and his drink for the sake of Allah alone. And then he said, لِلصَّائِمْ فَرْحَتَانْ فَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ وَفَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. That for the fasting person, there are two occasions of happiness, of joy. Two occasions of happiness. Farhatun and the fatrihi. Yani the joy and the happiness at the time of breaking his fast. And this joy and happiness at the time of breaking his fast, for everybody, it will mostly be that he's happy, that after not eating and drinking all day long, or she is happy after not eating and drinking all day long to be able to eat and drink. Naam. But the greater joy on that occasion is for the one who feels, who believes, who hopes that that fasting day has been accepted by Allah. If a person has completed a day of fasting and they believe and they hope that that fast has been accepted by Allah, that is a great occasion of happiness. وَفَرْحَةٌ عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. And then the greater occasion of happiness and joy is the joy that the believer will experience on the occasion of meeting his Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah and receiving the reward that Allah has for those who are fasting. وَلَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمْ أَتْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. And indeed the odor, the smell that comes from the mouth of the fasting person, yani the bad odor that may come from a person's stomach up through their mouth that is offensive to other people, this odor is atyabu indallah, is more yani fragrant, more beautiful, more sweet smelling with Allah than sweet smelling misk. And that is because it is the result of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiyan, he says, and the hadith concerning the excellence of fasting Ramadan and standing in its nights, and the excellence of fasting in general, even outside of Ramadan, are many. They are many. And he has only mentioned a few here. And the point is that there are many more than this. But what he has mentioned is sufficient. And then he says, and this is the greatness of this advice, that it is not so much the ayats from the Quran or the hadith that almost all of us are familiar with, and that we ourselves have read on many occasions, and we have heard them in the lessons, in the masjids, and in the khutbah, and the jumu'ah, and so on. But what is equally important, and that requires our great attention, is the comment, yani the explanation, that which is derived from these ahadith and these ayats from the Quran from a great scholar, one of the greatest scholars of our era, what he has said concerning this, his personal advice that came from a man who is not only a man of knowledge, but a man whose life is a reflection of the implementation of the sunnah in reality. فَيَنْبَغِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَنْتَحِزَ هَذِهِ الْفُرْصَةِ. So it is befitting Yani it is mandatory, is required, is expected of a believer that he take advantage of this opportunity. If we know what the Prophet ﷺ have said about Ramadan, and just what came in the few hadith that we have mentioned till now, if a person knows that, فَيَنْبَغِي, it is expected, is befitting of a believer. It's not befitting of a believer to act otherwise than to take advantage of this fursa. Now, this is a fursa, an opportunity that will pass us by. In a few more days, it will be gone. And whoever didn't take advantage of it will look back if they have any iman and regret and feel remorse that they have let this opportunity pass by. And now, alhamdulillah, there are still many days remaining from this month. It hasn't passed us by yet. But if a person has fallen short in this first week, then from now we should take advantage of this opportunity and not let it pass us by. It is befitting of the mu'min, the person who has true iman, that they take advantage of this opportunity. وَهِيَ مَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ إِدْرَاكِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. And what is this fursa? It is the favor that Allah has bestowed upon you in allowing you to reach the month of Ramadan. How many people didn't reach the month of Ramadan? How many people died before Ramadan? One day before Ramadan, or 1 week before Ramadan, or 1 month before Ramadan, and they didn't see this month. This is indeed a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيُسَارِعُوا إِلَى الطَّاعَاتِ. So that those believers should hasten. Yani not grudgingly, lazily, but يُسَارِعُوا, hasten. Yani with urgency to the doing of good deeds. وَيَحْذُرْ مِنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And beware, be cautious from committing sins, acts of disobedience to Allah. وَيَجْتَهَدْ فِي أَدَاءِ مَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And strive and struggle, make ijtihad in fulfilling the obligations that Allah has placed upon us. All of the obligations that Allah has placed upon us. وَلَا سِيَمَا الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. Especially the five obligatory prayers. فَإِنَّهَا عُمُودِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَهِيَ عَظَمَ الْفَرَائِدِ بَعْدَ الشَّهَادَتَيْنِ. Because indeed these five daily prayers that we are required to pray outside of Ramadan and inside of Ramadan, but it's befitting of a believer to take advantage of this opportunity in Ramadan to be hasty, to be anxious, to feel the urgency of fulfilling these obligatory prayers. Because indeed they are the foundation of Islam, and they are the greatest of all the obligatory duties after the shahadatain, the two testimonies of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. فالواجب على كل مسلم ومسلمة المحافظة عليها وأداؤها في أوقاتها بخشوع وطمأنينة. So it is obligatory upon every Muslim man and Muslim woman, every Muslim man and every Muslim woman, المحافظة عليها, to guard and protect and preserve the fulfillment of these obligatory prayers. وَأَدَاؤُهَا فِي أَوْقَاتِهَا. And the fulfillment, the performance of these five prayers in their proper times. Not when we feel like it, or when we have a free moment, or when it's convenient to do so. بِخُشُوعٍ وَتَمَأْنِينَ. Yani with khushu', fulfillment of these prayers, not just do the prayers, not just perform them on time, but to perform them with khushu', with humility and submissiveness, with a state of mind of feeling in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are praying to. And tama'aneena, with calmness and tranquility and peacefully. وَمِنْ أَهَمُّ وَاجِبَاتِهَا فِي حَقِّ الرِّجَالِ. And from the most important obligations of the fulfillment of the obligatory prayers in reference to the men, from the most important obligations of the fulfillment of these prayers in reference to the men, is the fulfilling of these prayers fil jama'a fi buyuti Allah allati adhina Allah an turfa wa yudhkara fiha ismu. Yani the performance of these prayers in congregation, in the masjids, the houses of Allah, which Allah has legislated, which Allah has commanded to be built, to be raised up, and in which Allah has legislated that His name be mentioned. Yani that the five prayers, the five obligatory prayers for men, must be prayed He said, "Min ahammi wajibatiha." From the most important obligation of these prayers for the men is that they be prayed in congregation, and that they be prayed in the houses of Allah in the masjids. And then the Shaykh mentions some ayats from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 43rd ayat. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَرَكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And this is a command to perform the prayers, إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ, to fulfill all of its duties and obligations, and to give the zakat, and to bow down with those who bow down. And this is an indication, وَرَكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, of the obligation, because it's a command, فِي الْعَمْرَ وَرَكَعُوا مَرَّاكِئِينَ. This is a clear indication of the obligation of performing the five prayers in congregation. Bow down with those who bow down, not by yourself. And the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 238th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةُ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And protect and preserve the prayers, as-salawat, all of them, but especially as Salatul Wusta. And Salatul Wusta is the middle prayer, that is the Asr prayer, according to the most authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and stand up for Allah in obedience to Him. And He protect and preserve these prayers, meaning doing them properly, and with all of their requirements, and performing them on time in the masjids, in jama'ah. And the Shaykh mentions also from Surah Al-Mu'mineen, 23rd Surah, 1st and 2nd Ayat, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That indeed, and here in these ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions eight characteristics of the people who will be successful. And the first of them is iman, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And the second of them, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have khushu' in their salat. Yani when they pray, they stand before Allah, they realize that they are standing in front of the Lord of the worlds. So they're standing in a state of humility, in a state of submission and awe of the Lord of all the worlds. Until he reached the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end of these ayahs, the 9th through 11th ayah, where he said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. Yani those who protect and preserve and guard their prayers, especially in their time and in the places where it is legislated for them to be performed. And after mentioning these ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. These are those who will inherit. الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. These are those who will inherit al-firdaus, the highest place in paradise, and they will remain in it forever. And it is noteworthy that the Shaykh mentioned the beginning of these ayats and the end of them, and the beginning of them begin with, the believers will be successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have khushu in their salat. And in the end of it he said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِذُونَ. Those who protect and preserve their prayers. And this is an indication of the importance of salat. That the people will be successful, he begins with the description of them having khushu in their salat, and the description of them in the end of it, of those who protect and preserve their prayers. And then the Shaykh mentions the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, reported by Imam Ahmad al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah in al-Sahih, that he said, الْأَحْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمْ الصَّلَاةِ فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرُ. That the covenant, yani the agreement between us and them, that separates us from them, the believers from the kuffar, is the salat. This is the agreement, the covenant that we have made with Allah. فَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرُ. So whoever abandons it, then there's nothing to separate him from the kuffar. Rather, he has definitely, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. He has definitely fallen into kufr. And then the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ الْفَرَائِدِ وَأَحَمُّ الْفَرَائِدِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ أَدَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ كَمَا قَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. They're from the most important of the obligatory duties that a Muslim has to give care to in this month of Ramadan, especially, though even outside of Ramadan, is the fulfillment of zakat. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Bayyinah, 98th Surah, 5th Ayat, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. That they have not been commanded with anything except to worship Allah with ikhlas. Worship Allah sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. That every act of worship has to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. This is what we have been commanded with. And whoever does any act of worship that is not sincerely for Allah alone, then it is rejected and it is useless and there is no benefit. And they have not been commanded, the believers, the Muslims, except to worship Allah with ikhlas, sincerely, to establish the deen for Him sincerely, to be upright and to establish the prayers and to give the zakat. And this is the upright deen. Yani doing these things. And the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 56 ayat, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That fulfill the prayers, establish the prayers, and give the zakat, and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that perhaps by doing so, you will earn the mercy of Allah. You will be of those who Allah's mercy is upon. And finally, the Shaykh says, وَقَدْ دَلَّ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَسُنَّةُ رَسُولِهِ الْكَرِيمِ عَلَى أَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يُؤَدِّي زَكَاةَ مَالِهِ يُعَذَّبُ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That the book of Allah, the great magnificent book of Allah, and the sunnah of the noble of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have indicated that the one who does not fulfill the obligation of zakat from his wealth, and whoever has wealth that requires that he pays zakat, obligatory zakat, from their wealth that they have that's over a minimum, and they have kept it for a whole year, then they have to pay at least a minimum amount from it, 2.5% or 1/40th of it, of what they have in their savings for 1 year. Whoever does not fulfill this, then they will be punished by it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the Shaykh says, وَأَهَمُّ الْأُمُورِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ صِيَامُ رَمَضَانِ. And the most important of affairs after the salat and the zakat is the fast of Ramadan. And it is one of the five pillars of Islam that are mentioned in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, Buni al-Islam ala khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, wa iqami salat, wa ita'i zakat, wa sawmi Ramadan, wa hajj al-bayt. That Islam is built upon five pillars, five foundations. That is the testimony that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, and the establishment of salat, and the giving of the zakat, and the fasting of Ramadan and Hajj to the house, yani to the Kaaba in Mecca. And the Shaykh, he says, yani the siyam, fasting in Ramadan, is one of the five pillars or foundations of Islam mentioned in this hadith. وَيَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ أَنْ يَصُونَ صِيَامَهُ وَقِيَامَهُ عَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ. So it is obligatory upon the Muslim to protect and to preserve his fasting and his standing in the night voluntary prayers, to protect them, yani to protect the benefit that one expects to achieve from them, to protect it from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon you, from speech and from actions. Yani that a person who speaks with the speech that Allah has prohibited, or does any action from the actions that Allah has prohibited, will destroy their fasting and destroy their standing. So if a person is going to strive and struggle to fast all day and to stand in the night, then they must protect the reward and the benefit that they hope from that by avoiding prohibited speech and prohibited actions. And this is because لِأَنَّ الْمَقْصُودُ بِالصِّيَامِ هُوَ طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعْظِيمُ حُرُمَاتِهِ وَجِهَادَ النَّفْسِ عَلَى مُخَالَفَةِ هَوَاهَا فِي طَاعَةِ مَوْلَاهَا وَتَعَوِيدُهَا الصَّبْرُ عَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. Because, yani why must a person protect their fasting and their standing in the night from that which Allah has prohibited of speech and action? Because the intention, the objective, the purpose of the fast, it is to achieve obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the benefit of fasting and then acting otherwise in disobedience to Allah? The purpose of the fast is to achieve obedience to Allah subhanahu, and to exalt, yani ta'zim hurumatihi, yani to show respect to those things which Allah has made sacred, and to strive, jihad an-nafs, to strive against yourself, the self that calls you to something else other than obedience to Allah, to strive against the self, to make it to oppose your desires that are contrary to obedience to your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To strive against yourself. To make it oppose, to reject the desires that are contrary to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to accustom it and get it used to having patience with what Allah has prohibited. Yani through fasting, a person may achieve a level of patience. They may accustom themselves to avoiding, to being patient from engaging in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And the Shaykh goes on to say, as we mentioned last week, the same point he is reiterating, mashallah, showing this, the correctness of this matter. وَلَيْسَ الْمَقْصُودُ مُجَرَّدُ تَرْكَ الطَّعَامُ وَالشَّرَابُ وَسَائِرُ الْمُفَتِّرَاتِ عليكم السلام. That it is not the purpose or the objective of the fast to simply abstain from food and drink and the other things that invalidate the fast. Here he is referring to al-mufattirat al-madiyah. He said, this is not the purpose, just to avoid food and drink and the things that invalidate the fast from physical things, but rather the purpose is to avoid other things. For this reason, it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, "As-siyamu junnatun." The fasting is a junnah, it's a shield. A shield, yani a means of protection. It's supposed to protect you by abstaining from eating and drinking and having marital relations with your spouse. It's supposed to give you the strength and the patience to avoid that which Allah has prohibited of other things. Of other things. So as-siyam is a junnah that protects you from sinning and protects you from the hellfire on Yawmul Qiyamah if you fast the way you're supposed to fast. Fasting is a junnah, a shield. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ سَوْمِ أَحَدِكُمْ فَلَا يَرْفَثْ وَلَا يَسْخَبْ. So if any one of you is fasting in a particular day, if it is the day of one of your fast, فَلَا يَرْفَثْ, then don't yani engage in indecencies. وَلَا يَسْخَبْ, and don't engage in shouting and yelling and screaming. فَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ قَاتَلَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. And if anyone abuses you verbally or wants to fight with you, then you must say, indeed, I am صائم, I am fasting. Meaning, fasting prevents me from engaging in this kind of behavior, in evil and indecent behavior, and screaming and shouting and yelling and acting ignorant. Fasting prevents me from this. Indeed, I am fasting. I am fasting. And it has also been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, which shows that the objective and the purpose of fasting is not just to abstain from food and drink. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ لَمْ يَضَعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That whoever does not, whoever fails to give up false speech, yani every kind of speech that Allah has prohibited, and acting in accordance with it, every kind of action that Allah has prohibited, and ignorant behavior, yani the behavior that's unbecoming of a Muslim, لَا يَلِيكُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ, whoever doesn't give up these things, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ, Allah has no need, فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ, Allah has no need for him to give up his food and drink. Because the objective is not to punish you by making you give up food and drink, rather the objective is to enable you to give up false speech, prohibited speech, prohibited action, ignorant behavior. This is really the objective. And the Shaykh said, فَعُلِمَ بِهَذِهِ النُّسُوسِ وَغَيْرِهَا أَنَّ الْوَاجِبُ عَلَى الصَّائِمِ الْحَذْرُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَالْمُحَافَظَ عَلَى كُلِّ مَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَبِذَلِكَ يُرْجَى لَهُ الْمَغْفِرَةُ وَالْعِتْقُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَقُبُولُ صِيَامِهِ وَقِيَامِهِ. Here Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah confirms what we mentioned last week. He summarized this hadith that he mentioned and the previous comments by saying, from these textual proofs and other than them, and there are more than this he is saying, but we just mentioned a few here. From these textual proofs and other than them, ulima, it becomes known that what is obligatory on the fasting person is to beware of everything that Allah has prohibited him from. not just from the lawful food and drink that's prohibited during the daytime of fasting, but to beware of everything that Allah has prohibited upon him. وَالْمُحَافَذَةُ عَلَى كُلِّ مَا عَوْجِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And to protect and to preserve and to fulfill every obligation that Allah has placed upon you. Not just the obligation of fasting, but every obligation that Allah has placed upon us. وَبِذَلِكَ. And by doing this, بِذَلِكَ يُرْجَ لَهُ الْمَغْفِرَةُ وَالْعِتْقُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَقُبُولُ سِيَامِهِ وَقِيَامِ. And in this way, the person has hope that he will receive the forgiveness of Allah, and that he will be freed from the hellfire, and that his fasting and his standing will be accepted. Yani, without this, we don't have hope that our fasting will be accepted. And that's the meaning of the hadith, لَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Allah has no need that you give up your food and drink. Meaning, عَدَمْ قُبُولِهِ. It will not be accepted. You don't have hope that Allah will accept your fasting and your standing. If you haven't protected yourself from all that Allah has prohibited, and you haven't fulfilled all that Allah has made obligatory upon you. In this way, the person has hope of Allah's forgiveness, and they have hope of being freed from the fire, and they have hope of the qubul, the acceptance of their fasting and their standing. And then the Shaykh, he goes on, after mentioning these matters, he goes on to mention the second part of the discussion, and that is the mention of يعني أحكام مهمة, important legal rulings. قد يخفى على بعض الناس, or تخفى على بعض الناس, that some of the people may be unaware of. Some of the people may not be fully aware of these things. And I say this, you know, it is my custom, or it is my way to remind us who we are listening to. Because probably sometimes we are looking at the speaker, and then we don't understand the magnitude of what is being said. Rather, remember, don't think of the speaker, but think of who this is coming from. This is Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. He said, these are matters which might be, some of the people might be unaware of, that might be hidden to some of the people. And the first of them, he mentioned six matters. The first of them, minha, أن الواجب على المسلم أن يصوم إيمانا واحتسابا لا رياء ولا سمعة ولا تقليدا للناس أو متابعة أهل بلده. That it is obligatory upon the Muslim to fast with iman and ihtisab. To fast with iman, faith, and ihtisab, expectation of reward from Allah. Not to do it to be seen, or not to do it to be heard, or not to be do it as blindly following the people because the people are doing it, or not to do it in following the people of your land, because that's what the people in your country do. Rather, you should be doing it with iman. يعني بل الواجب عليه أن يكون الحامل له على الصيام هو إيمانه بأن الله قد فرض عليه ذلك. يعني the hamid, the thing that motivates you, that moves you, that is the real cause of the reason for you fasting, it must be the person's iman, that Allah is the one who has made this obligatory upon them. So a person who is fasting must remind themselves that I am fasting because Allah has made this obligatory. That's iman. وَاحْتِسَابُهُ, and his expectation or hope of the reward, احْتِسَابُ الْأَجْرِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ فِي ذَلِكَ, and hope of the reward with your Lord for this fast. Yani, what do you hope for from this fast? You only hope for reward from your Lord. You don't hope for a wonderful meal at the end of the day. That shouldn't be your hope. It shouldn't be your hope that people will respect you and look up to you because they see you fasting, and they will think you strong, and they might think good of you because you are fasting. Rather, it has to be purely for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَكَذَا قِيَامُ رَمَضَانَ يَجِبُ أَن يَفْعَلَهُ الْمُسْلِمُ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا لَا لِسَبَبٍ آخَرٍ. And likewise, in the same way, standing in the nights of Ramadan in the voluntary prayers, it is obligatory that a Muslim does this out of iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the one who has legislated this. And ihtisab, hoping for the reward from Allah alone, not for any other reason. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith that we mentioned previously, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, believing in Allah, that He is the one who has made it obligatory upon us, and having hope and expectation and anticipation of reward from Allah, whoever fasts with these two conditions, then their previous sins would be forgiven. And he said the same thing, whoever stands in the night of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, their previous sins would be forgiven. And whoever stands on the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, with iman and ihtisab, their previous sins would be forgiven. And these are three matters, three separate matters, that a person has an opportunity through any one of them or all three of them to have their previous sins removed, wiped away, so that they will not be called to account for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The second of these matters that might be that some of the people might be unaware of, yani many people might not be aware that when they're fasting, they have to fast with iman and ihtisab. Many people might not be aware. We might think everybody knows that because you know it. But believe it or not, there are probably millions of Muslims who are fasting without iman and ihtisab. And even from amongst the people who heard the hadith, maybe even memorized the hadith, maybe they didn't think about it and they didn't have this consciousness at the time that they are fasting, and perhaps they have lost the reward. The second of the matters that some people might be unaware of, it's ruling. He said that a fasting person might get a wound, yani a wound in their body that caused them to bleed, or a nosebleed, or vomiting, or some water or gasoline fumes might go into their mouth through their throat. بِغَيْرِ اِخْتِيَارِهِ, yani not by choice, unwillingly, not by choice, that might happen. And the Shaykh says, فَقُلُّ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ لَا تُفْسِدُ السَّوْمِ, that all of these things, none of them invalidate the fast. And we could add to that many other things. As we found in, maybe on another occasion, some of the things that the scholars have mentioned that do not invalidate the fast. And there are many things. And from amongst them I will mention here, because of its great importance, and the proofs and evidence concerning it require a full sitting. But this is the fatwa that I studied carefully from a number of scholars. From amongst them, Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz. From amongst them, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen. From before them, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And from the legend of Da'imah, that taking medications does not invalidate the fast. Taking a medication does not invalidate the fast. Taking an injection does not invalidate the fast. Unless, according to the majority of the scholars, unless the person is taking an injection that is a replacement for nourishment, for food and drink. But otherwise, taking medication does not invalidate the fast. And this is a discussion, inshallah, that we have for another occasion in detail. And this is from the things that many of the people do not know, even in some of the books. Taking medication by any means, orally, anally, any kind of way, through intravenous or anything, if it's not a nourishment, it does not invalidate the fast. And if we have time tonight, I will read what Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah said about this, and I will read what Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said about it. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, our madhab says this, but the Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah said this, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's opinion is the correct opinion. And it's by far the strongest opinion. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Water is one thing. A pill is another thing. Taking medication does not break the fast. Drinking water, it's clear. Drinking water breaks the fast. Naam. Drinking water breaks the fast. Eating food breaks the fast. But taking a pill, taking an injection, taking a whatever, it doesn't break the fast. If it's not replacing food and drink. And a lot of people, they don't fast because they have to take some kind of medication, not knowing that taking that medication does not invalidate the fast. And perhaps that person is able to fast. And perhaps that person is able to fast, but they have been denied the fast because they believed that taking medication breaks the fast. And the legend of Da'imah said categorically that these medications are not a replacement for food and drink, therefore they do not break the fast. And even though in the Hanbali madhab there's some ishkal, because they have some principles that are contrary to the Quran and Sunnah, and Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said those principles are invalid. There's no proof in the Quran nor in the Sunnah. And who knew the Quran and Sunnah better than Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah? the distinction between the taking the medication through different ways. If it came through the eyes or the ears or through the mouth, there's no proof for any distinction between them. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, Rahimahullah. So from amongst the affairs, which its ruling might be unknown to some of the people, is this situation where a person has a nosebleed or wound or vomiting, unintentionally something came into their body, like water or benzene, he said, yani the fumes from gasoline, بِغَيْرِ اِخْتِيَارِهِ بِغَيْرِ اِخْتِيَارِهِ. And we can say here, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَمَسْتُقْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah has passed over, He has forbidden, He has pardoned for my ummah, al-khata wal-nisyan wa-mastukrihu alayhi, that whatever they did by mistake, unintentionally, and whatever they did through forgetfulness, not knowingly, and whatever they did under compulsion, not willingly. And these are three things that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen discussed in detail in a lot of different fatawa, and from amongst them is fatawa Arkan al-Islam. He discussed in detail these points. These three points. That nothing breaks the fast except that a person does it willingly, knowingly, and consciously, not through forgetfulness. So the Shaykh says, but if a person intentionally vomits, then this invalidates the fast due to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ ذَرَاهُ أَلْقَيْهِ فَلَا قَضَىٰ عَلَيْهِ. That whoever, yani, vomits, yani, throws up something against their will, then they don't have to make up the fast. وَمَنْ اِسْتَقَىٰ فَعَلَيْهِ الْقَضَىٰ. But whoever voluntarily causes themselves to throw up or to vomit something, then they have to make up the fast. This hadith reported by Imam Ahmed and Ibn Majah, and the wording of it is from Ibn Majah, and the hadith is sahih. The third matter that the Shaykh mentions, from amongst those things, the ruling of which is not known to some of the people, they may be unaware of it. وَقَدْ يَعْرِضُ لِلصَّائِمْ مِنْ تَأْخِيرِ غُسْلِ الْجَنَازَةِ الْجَنَابَةِ إِلَى تُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ. That it might occur to a person who is fasting that they have delayed the bath from janaba, yani from having sexual relations with one spouse. And they might not have taken the bath during the night, and the fajr overcame them, and the break of dawn came, and they're in a state of janaba. And likewise, it might occur to some of the women that they delayed making the ghusl from hayd and nifas, that they became clean from their monthly period, or from the after childbirth, yani the bleeding that comes after delivery of a child. That a woman may become clean from that bleeding. And before the break of dawn, they became clean, but they didn't take a ghusl, and the dawn overcame them while they were in this condition. He said, if they saw that they became clean before the break of dawn, and they didn't take a ghusl, or the person who had relations with their spouse, and the dawn came and they didn't take a ghusl, فَإِنَّهُ يَلْزَمُهَا الصَّوْمُ. Then this woman, and likewise the man mentioned before, are required to fast. They are required to fast. And there's no prohibition from delaying the ghusl until after the break of dawn for the woman in that condition or the man in that condition. The condition of yani janaba. However, it is not for her to delay it, and likewise him. Yani the last one that he mentioned is the condition of the woman. It is not for her or for him to delay it until sunrise. Yani if the person needed to take a ghusl and dawn overcame them, and they delayed the ghusl until after dawn, there's no harm in this. But they are not allowed to delay it until sunrise. Bel yajibu. It is obligatory to take the ghusl and to pray the fajr before sunrise, before tulu' al-shams. Yani the ghusl can be performed after the break of dawn, but it has to be done before sunrise, because the fajr prayer has to be performed before sunrise. And likewise, he said, the same thing is for the junub, meaning the man who is in a state of janaba. لَيْسَ لَهُ تَأْخِيرُ غُسُلْ إِلَى مَا بَعْدَ تُلُوِ الشَّمْسِ. Yani it's not permissible for him to delay taking that ghusl until the rising of the sun. Rather, it is obligatory upon him to take the ghusl and to pray the fajr prayer before the rising of the sun. And it is obligatory upon the man to hasten in doing so. الْمُبَادَرَ بِذَلِكَ حتى يدرك صلاة الفجر مع الجماعة. In order that he will reach, he will catch the صلاة الفجر, not by himself in his house, مع الجماعة. And the fourth matter, from amongst those things that do not invalidate the fast, تحليل الدم والضرب الإبر. يعني a person having a blood test, some blood is taken for a blood test, or a person is given an injection. غير التي يقصد بها التغذية. Other than the injection, that its intention or its purpose is for nourishment. يعني if a person is taking an injection, other than the injection, that's for nourishment. This does not invalidate the fast. And as I mentioned, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen discussed this matter in detail in Al-Jami'a, the Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah, and he also discussed it in some detail in the Fatawa Arkan al-Islam. He said, so this does not invalidate the fast. Not a blood test, blood being taken for a test, nor an injection, as long as it's not for nourishment, to replace eating and drinking. However, delaying that until the night is awla wa ahwat, idha tayassara dhalik. But if it's possible, if it's easy for a person to wait until night, until after Maghrib, to take the blood test or to take the injection, then this is better and this is safer to do so. And this is awla, it is more befitting and more right. And it is ahwa, it is safer for the person to protect themselves from any doubt. As the Prophet ﷺ said, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. Leave that which you are in doubt for that about which there is no doubt. This hadith reported by Imam Ahmad and Nasa'i and others. And the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنِ اتَّقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. That whoever guards himself, protects himself from the shubuhat, from the doubtful matters, something that we are not sure about. The person who protects themselves from that, then that person has protected his deen and his honor. وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَحَاتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. But whoever falls into the doubtful matters has fallen into that which is haram. And the fifth matter, from amongst the things that some of the people might not be aware of, it's ruling, and this is a very important matter, عَدَمْ اطمئنان في الصلاة سواء كانت فريضة أو نافلة. يعني the absence of performing the salat, whether it is obligatory prayer or voluntary prayer, the absence of performing the salat with tranquility, with calmness, being at peace and at rest. The person who doesn't perform their prayer with this state of tranquility, of calmness, of being at ease. This is a matter that we need to know its ruling. The ahadith as-sahiha from the Prophet ﷺ indicate that al-itmi'nan is a rukun min arkan as-salat. That performing the prayer with tranquility, at peace and rest, not being hasty, this is a rukun, a pillar from the pillars of salat. Meaning, the person who loses a pillar, khalas, they have invalidated the action. This is a rukun min arkan as-salat. And this is from the obligatory prayer as well as the voluntary prayer. The prayer in congregation as well as the prayer you are praying alone. وَلَا تَصِحُّ salat بِدُونِهِ. The Shaykh, he says what? And the salat is not correct. It is not valid without itmi'nan, without tranquility. The salat is not valid. And this is very important. And what is this? اطمئنان, he said, هُوَ الرُّكُود. Yani being in a state of motionless, stillness, tranquil. Yani being at ease. And it is al-khushu', state of humility and humbleness, being in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person must be in this state in the salat. وَعَدَمَ الْعَجَلَ, and not being hasty. حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ كُلُّ فَكَارٍ إِلَى مَكَانِهِ. Until every joint in the body returns to its place. Meaning that a person should not move from ruku until they are firmly established in the position of ruku before they come out of it. And likewise, the person should not go from the standing position to prostration until they are standing erect completely and perfectly. The Shaykh says, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ يُصَلِّي فِي رَمَضَانِ صَلَاتُ التَّرَوِيحِ صَلَاةً لَا يَعْقِلُهَا وَلَا يَطْمَئِنَّ فِيهَا بَلْ يَنْكُرُهَا نَقْرًا. That many of the people are praying in Ramadan, the Salatul Taraweeh especially, a salat from which they don't understand anything and they have no tranquility in it whatsoever. Rather, they are pecking like the pecking of a bird. Meaning they are going up and down in the salat without any consciousness of what they are doing, of what they are saying, of what they are hearing in the recitation, or what they are reciting themselves in ruku and sujood. Many of the people are performing salat like this. Naam. And the Shaykh says, and pay careful attention to this, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Abd ibn Baz, rahimahullah, وَهَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى هَذَا الْوَجْهِ بَاطِلَةٌ وَصَاحِبُهَا آثِمٌ غَيْرُ مَأْجُورٍ. The person who performed the prayer like this, he said, their salat is batil, invalid. It's invalid. And the one who prays like that is athim, sinful. غَيْرُ مَعْجُورٍ. And they have no reward. And the sixth matter, and the last matter, the matter of great dispute. And what the Shaykh is saying here in this matter, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, is the same thing that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen says, is the same thing that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said before them. And basically they are quoting what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said. They didn't say any of this for the first time. Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, he says, rahimahullah, and from amongst those things whose ruling might be unknown to many of the people, brother, please, you're disturbing me. Allahu musta'an. The thought, ظَنُّ بَعْدِهِمْ أَنَّ التَّرَاوِيحِ لَا يَجُوز نَقْصُهَا عَنْ 20 رَكَعَةً. Can somebody say something to this brother right here if he doesn't hear me? Brother, you're disturbing me. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. And from amongst those matters, the ruling of which is not known to many of the people, is their thought in their imagination of some of them that Taraweeh is not permissible to be prayed in less than 20 raka'ah. وَظَنُّ بَعْدِهِمْ أَنَّهُ لَا يَجُوز أَنْ يَزَادُ فِيهِ عَلَى 11 raka'ah. أو 13 ركعة. And the imagination, the thought of some of them, that is not permissible that it be prayed by more than 11 or 13 ركعة. Both of them, he said, both of them. هذا كله ظن في غير محله. All of this, both of them, in their mind, they are imagining something that's out of place. It's incorrect. بَلْ هُوَ خَطَأٌ مُخَالِفٌ لِلْعَدِلَّةِ. It is error, mistake, and it is in opposition to the evidences. Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abd ibn Baz, he said, all of this, it is a thought that is out of its place. It's incorrect. Rather, it is a mistake, and it is in opposition to the evidence. And the evidences are many. And one of them is sufficient, that's crystal clear. The Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ دَلَّتْ الْأَحَدِيثَ الصَّحِيحَةِ. Yani the authentic hadith have indicated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Salat al-Layl is wasi', it's wide, it's spacious, it's broad. It's not locked down, as some people imagine, to 21 rak'ah or 11 rak'ah. Not so. فَلَيْسَ فِيهَ حَدْ مَحْدُودٌ لَا يَجُوز مُخَالِفَتُهُ. There's no specific amount of rak'ah that you can't go other outside of that. بَلْ ثَبَتَ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُصَلِّي مِنَ اللَّيْلِ 11 رَكَعَةً. نعم. It has been confirmed from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that he used to pray sometimes 11 rak'ah, and that was his most common practice. وَرُبَّمَا صَلَّى 13 رَكَعَةً. And sometimes he prayed 13 rak'ah, as is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari. Naam. وَرُبَّمَا صَلَّى قَلُّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And sometimes he prayed less than that. في رمضان وفي غيره, in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. ولما سئل صلى الله عليه وسلم عن صلاة الليل, and this is the evidence that there is no escape from. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about the night prayer, and now we have to go to the principles of usul fiqh, al-mutlaq wal-muqayyid, that we have talked about so many times in the past. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم have given us a ruling on a matter that is mutlaq, mean unrestricted, undefined, open, no one has the right to limit it. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given us a ruling about something that's muqayyid, that's restricted or defined to a certain amount or a certain time or a certain place, nobody has the right to open it and make it broad. Rather, it is as he has made it. And this is the principle that the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah used in this issue, and this is the principle that most of the scholars of the Sunnah today, with the exception of few, and the matter is open for difference of opinion, but in any case, the Shaykh said, it has been confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked about the night prayer. He was asked by a person who doesn't know how to perform the prayer. He was asked by a person who doesn't know how to perform the prayer. This is his explanation of how you perform the prayer. And we know from the also from usul, from the principles of usul, لا يجوز تأخير البيان عن وقت الحاجة. That is not permissible in the Sharia for the legislator, for Allah or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, to delay the clarification of a matter outside of the time of its need. The people are in need to know how to worship Allah. It's not permissible to tell them, I'll tell you next week, next year. No, you have to tell them now. So the man, he doesn't know how to pray. He asked the Prophet, how do you perform the night prayer? What did the Prophet ﷺ tell him? Tell him 11 rak'ah only. Or 21 rak'ah only. 46 rak'ah. 39? Mathna, mathna. فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَحَدُكُمَ الصُّبْحِ صَلَّ رَكَعَةً وَاحِدَةً تُوْتِرُ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّ. That how is the night prayer performed? Mathna, مثنى, two by two, in pairs of two. فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَحَدُكُمَ الصُّبْحِ. But if anyone fears the break of dawn, yani the end of the time for the prayer, then he must pray one rak'ah, rak'atan wahidatan. And this rak'ah will make odd the prayers that he had prayed up until then. Whether he has prayed two rak'ah or four rak'ah, and he made it seven. Or he prayed six rak'ah, eight rak'ah, and he made it nine. Or he prayed 20 rak'ah, and he prayed one more and made it 21. The Prophet ﷺ said, pray them in pairs. The man didn't know that it's limited to 11. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell him. So what makes it limited to 11? The Prophet failed to tell him what he needed to know. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to pray, as Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Muzammil, for half of the night, or two-thirds of the night, or a third of the night, along with the Prophet ﷺ. But they wasn't in his house praying with him. They were in their houses. And he was in his place. And nobody told them, limit it to 11. Rather, pray as much as you like, for one-third of the night, or two-thirds of the night, or half of the night. But how do you perform it? In pairs of two, and make the end of it as witr. And the Shaykh, he says, and this hadith is muttafaqun ala sihatihi, that both Bukhari and Muslim have agreed of its authenticity. وَلَمْ يُحَدِّدْ رَكَعَاتْ مُعَيِّنَةً لَا فِي رَمَضَانْ وَلَا فِي غَيْرِهِ. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not limited the prayer to a certain number, raka'at mu'ayyina, specific number, not 21 or 11. Not in Ramadan, nor outside of Ramadan. And the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never prayed more than 11 raka'ah in Ramadan outside of Ramadan, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, the meaning of this hadith is that mostly he used to pray 11 raka'ah in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. But the proof that he prayed less than that and more than that is also in Sahih al-Bukhari. Naam. Then the Shaykh, he goes on to say, and we'll try to finish with this because time is getting close on us. He says, and for this reason, the companions of the Prophet radiallahu anhum ajma'in, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhum, some of them sometimes used to pray 23 rak'ah, and some of them used to pray 11 rak'ah, and all of this is confirmed from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhum, from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Umar. And this is a disputed matter, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, has given an extensive research, and some of his students also, in which the conclusion that he reached is that that which has been narrated from Umar ibn al-Khattab of more than 11 rak'ah is not authentic. And that which is narrated from him of 11 rak'ah is authentic. And this is a disputed matter, as we said. But even if we take it that in the time of Umar they only prayed 11 rak'ah, we know that after that, certainly, for sure, there's no doubt about it, that the people prayed 21 rak'ah and 23 rak'ah and 39 rak'ah and 36 rak'ah and 41 rak'ah. We know that's a fact about which there's no doubt. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says that it is confirmed from the Salaf that they did so. And in any case, after that he said, وَكَانَ بَعْدُ السَّلَفِ يُصَلِّي فِي رَمَضَانِ سِتًا وَثَلَاثِينَ رَكَعَ وَيُوتِرْ بِثَلَاثَ. That some of the Salaf, they used to pray in Ramadan 36 rak'ah and witr as 3 rak'ah, 39. And some of them used to pray 41, 41 rak'ah. ذَكَرَ ذَلِكَ عَنْهُمْ شَيْكُ الْإِسْلَامِ ابْنِ تَيْمِيَّةِ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ وَغَيْرُهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. This has been mentioned from the Salaf by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and others of the people of knowledge from the ulama of the past. كَمَا ذَكَرَ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ أَنَّ الْأَمْرُ فِي ذَلِكَ وَاسِعٌ. And he has also mentioned, رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ, that this matter is wasiun, it's open, it's not fixed to a certain amount. Rather, a person can pray more or less according to their ability. وَذَكَرَ أَيْضًا أَنَّ الْأَفْضَلُ لِمَنْ أَطَالَ الْقِرَاعَةَ وَالرُّكُوعُ وَالسُّجُودُ أَنْ يُقَلِّلْ الْعَدَدُ. And he also, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, this is what Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah is saying, that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah also mentioned that what is preferable for the person who makes their recitation of Quran in standing long, and they make their bowing and ruku long, and they make their prostrations long. And I'm saying, that's a fact, that that's how the Prophet used to, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, pray. He used to recite long, he used to make ruku long. He used to make sujood long. And some of the narrations, Sahih al-Bukhari, he used to make his ruku and sujood equal to his standing. Naam. And this is discussed in detail by Shaykh Abdullah Ali Bassam in his explanation of Amdat al-Ahkam, Taysir al-Allam. In detail he explained this particular matter. He says that it's better for the person who makes long recitation and long ruku and sujood that he make the number of rak'ah less. And that's closer to the sunnah, because the Prophet used to make long recitation and he used to recite less rak'ah. But whoever fears, whoever khaffaf, yani makes less, lightens the qira'ah, recites short, and the ruku short, and the sujood short, zada fil adad, then he should increase the number of rak'ah. هَذَا مَعْنَ كَلَامِهِ رَحِيمُهُ اللَّهِ. This is the meaning of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said from Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz رحمه الله. Then he says, وَمَنْ تَأَمَّلَ سُنَّتَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Whoever reflects upon his sunnah, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after all that has been said, عَلِمَ أَنَّ الْأَفْضَلْ فِي هَذَا كُلِّهِ هُوَ السَّلَاةِ إِحْدَى عَشَرَ ركعه او 13 ركعه او 13 ركعه في رمضان وفي غيره. يعني whoever reflects upon the sunnah and examines it carefully from the beginning to the end of it, it will become known, he will know that what is preferable and what is best from all of what has been mentioned is to pray 11 ركعه or 13 ركعه in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. And this is due to the fact that this is al-muwafiq لفعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غالب أحواله. Because this is what is in agreement with what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did most of the time. يعني less rak'ah, like 11 rak'ah, but with long recitation, and long bowing, and long prostration. Not short number of rak'ah, and short recitation, and short ruku and hastening, the 15-minute salat. Or as the brother mentioned in Fajr the other day, Allahu A'lam about it, but we don't have no reason to doubt him. He said the people prayed a prayer that lasted a few minutes in Ramadan. The reason why this is best, because this is in agreement with what the Prophet ﷺ did most of the time. وَلِأَنَّهُ أَرْفَقْ بِالْمُصَلِّينَ وَأَقْرَبْ إِلَى الْخُشُوعِ وَطَمَأْنِينَ. And this is because this is easier for the people who are praying. And it is nearer to achieving الْخُشُوعِ وَطَمَأْنِينَ. That a person take their time in the prayer and pray carefully and slowly in the way that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. And whoever increased on this the number of rak'ah, فَلَا حَرَجْ. ولا كراهية كما سبق. الإمام عبد العزيز ibn Ibad said, but whoever makes more rak'ah than this, even though this is better, if somebody makes more rak'ah than this, فلا حرج. There's no harm in this. ولا كراهية. This is not something that's evil. This is not something that's evil. And then he says, and this is critical for us to take to heart. وَالْأَفْضَلْ لِمَنْ صَلَّ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ فِي قِيَامِ رَمَضَانِ أَنْ لَا يَنْصَرِفْ إِلَّا مَعَ الْإِمَامِ لِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ إِذَا قَامَ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفَ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ قِيَامَ لَيْلَةٍ. That what is better for the person who prays with the imam in the night prayer of Ramadan, that they do not leave the prayer except with the imam. Meaning when the imam is finished, no matter how many rak'ah he prays. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that a man who stands with the imam, yani in the prayer, in the night prayer, and some of the narrations is clear that it was in Ramadan, that they were fasting with the Prophet ﷺ in Ramadan, and he didn't lead them in prayer until there were only 7 days remaining. And he led them in prayer for 1/3 of the night. And then he didn't lead them in prayer the next day until the following day after that, when there were only 5 days remaining. And he led them in prayer for half of the night. And one of them said to the Prophet ﷺ, if only we had just prayed the rest of the night. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays with the imam and stays with the imam until he finished the prayer, he will have written for him the prayer of the whole night. And he said he didn't pray with us the next night, and he didn't pray with us until the following night after that, when there are only 3 days remaining, three in Ramadan. And he prayed with us until we feared that we would miss our suhoor. That's how close it was to Fajr. Now, and this is hadith sahih, reported by Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. And a lot of the scholars declared it to be sahih amongst those who narrate it, as well as the later scholars, Al-Imam al-Shawkani, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh al-Uthaymeen, and Sheikh al-Albani, all of them said that it is sahih. So whoever prays with an imam, pray with the imam until he leaves the prayer and get the reward of praying the whole night. Not many of us have the ability to pray the whole night, but everyone has the ability to pray with the imam until he finishes. Don't get tired in the prayer. After you have worked all day, hours and hours and hours, collecting money, cash, dollar bills, and when it comes time to collect the real cash, you bail out. Pray 2 rak'ah, 4 rak'ah, and you're too tired to finish the prayer with the imam and get the reward of praying the whole night. We never miss getting the reward of the money all day. But the reward that's with Allah, it is light with us. And the Shaykh, he closes by saying, وَيَشْرَعْ لِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الْإِجْتِهَادِ فِي أَنْوَاعِ الْإِبَادَةِ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرِ الْكَرِيمِ مِنْ صَلَاةِ النَّافِلَةِ. That it is legislated for all of the Muslims to make ijtihad, to strive and struggle in all types of worship in this noble month, including the voluntary prayers, including the recitation of the Qur'an بِالتَّدَبُّر وَالتَّعَقُّل. Recitation of the Qur'an with تَدَبُّر وَالتَّعَقُّل. That a person reflects and ponders and understands what they are reading. وَالْإِكْثَارَ مِنَ التَّصْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّحْمِيدِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ وَالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ وَالدَّعَوَاتِ الشَّرَعِيَّةِ. That a person increase in saying Subhanallah and La ilaha illallah and Alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar and Astaghfirullah, seeking Allah's forgiveness and the legislated supplications. And all of that which he mentioned is for yourself. And Shaykh al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz, rahimahullah, he never left us to just take care of ourselves, but he always remind us that the muslih, the one whose righteousness is not limited to himself but affects others, is better than the salih, who's righteous within himself but doesn't benefit the people around them. He said, so in addition to this, al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong, wa da'wa ila Allah azza wa jalla, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being kind to the poor people and the needy, wal ijtihad fi birr walidain wa silati rahim, and striving in being dutiful to your parents. If you have parents that are living, be kind to your parents, and keeping the ties of relations with your blood relatives. Wa ikram al-jar, and being generous to your neighbors. Wa iyadatul marid, visiting the sick. Wa ghayra dhalik min anwa' al-khayr, and other than that from the types of good. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And from that hadith that we mentioned previously, if it's the first night of Ramadan, the doors of the paradise are open and the doors of the hellfire close, and the shayateen are chained. And a caller calls out, Ya Baghi al Khair Aqbil. Yani, whoever desires good, this is the time. This is the best time for a person to do it in this month. While the shayateen are chained up and the doors of paradise are open and the doors of hellfire close, then come forward if you want to do good, and get back if you want to do evil. And the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, showing the excellence of this time, this month of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ said, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan, aw qala hajjatan ma'i, that performing Umrah in Ramadan is not like Umrah any other time, rather it is equal to making Hajj. Or he said, making Hajj with me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh, he says, the hadith and the narrations from the Salaf that indicate that it is legislated, al-musabaqa wal-munafasa, to race and to compete with one another in the various types of khair in this noble month, those narrations are many. And we have just mentioned a few of them here. And then the Shaykh, he closes with this dua, wallahu mas'ul, ayyuwaffiqana wasa'il al-muslimin likulli ma fi ridahu. That Allah is the one that we ask to grant us success and grant success to the other Muslims in doing everything that contains His good pleasure. وَيَتَقَبَّلَ سِيَامَنَا وَقِيَامَنَا, and that He accept, after He gave us the ability to do it, that He also accept our fasting and our standing. وَيَصْلَحْ أَحْوَالَنَا وَيُعِيذُنَا جَمِيعًا مِنَ الْمُضَلَّاتِ الْفِتَنِ, and that He correct and rectify our affairs, and that He protect us, all of us, from those yani things that lead astray, the fitan, yani the trials that lead people astray off the path after they have been guided. كَمَا نَسْأَلُهُ سُبْحَانُهُ أَيَصْلَحْ قَادَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَيَجْمَى كَلِمَتَهُمْ عَلَى الْحَقِّ إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. And we also ask Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rectify the leaders of the Muslims. Na'am. And to bring them together, yani that they be united upon the truth in the Muslim world. And indeed Allah is able to do that. Allah is the one who can do that, and He is able to do that. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And we ask Allah that He accept from us our fasting today, and that inshallah He give us the success for the rest of this month to fast and to stand in the night and to do the things that are pleasing to Him, and especially to avoid all prohibited actions and all prohibited speech during the day and the night. And that He give us the ability and the motivation and the inclination within our hearts to do all of the obligatory duties and extra that He has not made obligatory upon us, to fulfill the obligatory duties and to go beyond that, to strive and to compete with one another in doing of good during this month of Ramadan and after this month of Ramadan, and that He accept this whole month of Ramadan from us, that Allah give us success to complete it in a way that's pleasing to Him, and to not take our souls except that we die in a condition that we are pleased with Him, and that He is pleased with us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيٍّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَآمِينَ.